Support for the Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org. This program is recorded from an earlier live broadcast.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. As we get closer to the big election, we are bringing you candidates to take your calls and answer your questions about their positions. What's their vision for Texas and for their local community? And right now we're joined by Cecilia Castellano. She is the Democratic nominee in the race for Texas House District 80. That is the South Texas district that covers parts of Pleasanton, Pearsall, Uvalde, parts of Laredo. This is a largely rural district, and so we're joined by Cecilia, and she's here to take your calls. This is an open seat. It is currently held by Tracy King, a Democrat, but he is retiring, and the Republican in the race is former Uvalde Mayor Don McLaughlin. He has an open invitation to come on. We're working with him to get him on the air, also to take your calls and questions from him to lay out his vision for Texas and the district. You can call in. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. And Cecilia Castellano, welcome back to The Source.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So the last time we had you on the air, it was right after the Texas Attorney General's office raided your home. That sounds bad. You know, they raided your house. It was part of their so-called investigation into vote harvesting, I believe, even though I don't know if we ever got that officially from the Attorney General's office. And so before we get into talking about your campaign and where you are on that, I have a lot of questions because we never really got any good answers about what was going on from the Attorney General's office. Have you found out anything? Have they ever talked to you and told you why you were the target of this raid?
Not at all. So I'd like to just correct something. My home was not raided. There was two armed individuals, sergeants, that went to my home with a search warrant at 6 a.m. in the morning. And they came in with the search warrant. I told them to wait at the door, but they made their way into my home.
How is that not a raid?
Well, I guess they didn't go through my home, through all my personal belongings.
Well.
I guess it's kind of like SB1, right? It's kind of vague.
Yeah.
So it sounds like
a raid. They had a search warrant. They went into your home. They demanded
my cell phone.
Your cell phone.
Yes.
They didn't go through and toss your house, and throw all your stuff on the floor, but still, they did that.
Absolutely. Coming in at 6 a.m., I mean, absolutely, that is something that is uncalled for. And coming in and taking my phone for no reason. In the search document or search warrant, there was nothing indicating why they were there at my home. The sergeants could not even answer why they were there at my house.
Right. So this past weekend, the federal court ruled on SB1, which was the omnibus so-called voter security law that was passed and signed into law by the Republican regime in Texas. And which gave the Attorney General, the appearance of being able to do these types of investigations. And the ruling from the federal court was he doesn't, that this is a violation of the Constitution. It violates your First and 14th Amendment rights. Mm-hmm. Also, the law is vague and overly broad. And also, the ruling found that there is no vote harvesting problem in the state of Texas. So that being said, we now know that this raid, I'm going to call it a raid, was improper and should not have happened. And is so have they returned your phone at least?
Not at all. No phone call, no nothing. My phone has not been returned. We have not heard from the Office of the Attorney General as well. We have not heard from the district attorney that initiated this search. So we're just waiting patiently. I do have an attorney that is going to be making a phone call to find out when they're going to be returning our belongings. But as of right now, there is nothing. Nothing has been returned.
How has this been? So it's been several weeks now, and it's been impacting you, and then there are other voting rights activists, and we've had LULAC get involved. They have asked for a federal investigation, and I think you joined with them in that call for a federal investigation into this. What have you heard about that?
So LULAC, along with several other activists, have been very supportive, as well as veteran organizations, for a call to action. We hadn't stopped from the day on August 20th that the Office of Attorney General came and came with search warrants to my home and to homes of our supporters, as well as my campaign consultant. We quickly mobilized and fought back. We fought back through many different sources, as well as having press conferences throughout the district. And this is something that I can tell you that this is how Cecilia fights, is that we're going to fight for what's right and to ensure that everyone has a seat at the table and a voice. And so with that being said, we had a victorious outcome on Saturday from Judge Xavier ruling in our favor that basically our rights, our rights were
violated.
Thank you. As well as the law, restricting how people could assist voters in returning their mail ballots. Now, I don't really want to talk about the mail ballots just because I'm new at politics, as many of y'all know. Throughout my time since July of last year, I have gone, knocked on doors, and passed out my walking literature. There's so many parts with when it comes to campaigns, from your texting, your mailing, your sending in applications. I'm learning all that. And I think that's the beautiful part of why you won't send a politician into Austin. You're going to send a businesswoman into Austin.
So when you got into this, did you have any idea that it would be, that the attorney general would target you, your home would be raided, that you would have to deal with these accusations, that they'd be trying to smear your name? Did you know all that was going to happen?
Absolutely not. Sometimes I sit back and I tell myself, especially on August 20th, Cecilia, what are you doing? You couldn't even protect your son. My son was literally a few feet away when these men came into my home, hearing everything of why they were there at my house. I told my husband, I said, I'm not sure why we're even going through this. I mean, we run a small business. We go to church. We're in our community. I'm not understanding why this is happening. So no, absolutely not. A small business that my husband and I built together, it's falling apart right before my eyes. But we're keeping our faith because this too shall pass. And that's the only thing that keeps me going, is this too shall pass. Nothing missing, nothing broken. So I'm hanging on to my faith, and I'm not going to ask the question, what next? Because that did cross my mind. What next, right? What else are they going to come up with? And what I can tell you is that I had, even though it was very scary what happened on August 20th, I had peace knowing that we didn't do anything wrong. And that's what kept us moving. And that's what kept us to have these different press releases throughout the district, and where we came up with a compact for Texas. Republicans came up with something similar, but this is for the people. I signed a compact for Texas in every single county, writing a compact for Texas that's for our people, and not just for one side, for Republicans or just for Democrats, but for the people. And that's what we need to start talking about, is what are we going to do for the people, not for the party.
Let me go to a caller, Christopher. And Christopher, you're on the air.
Hey, thanks. So just a real quick question. I grew up in South Texas, where you're talking about, and everyone I knew was a Republican because they believed in honesty, looking someone in the eye, a handshake meant something, a hard day's work meant something. And the modern Republican Party just doesn't seem to adhere to any of that, yet they've maintained, or at least a political leadership doesn't represent that, but they've maintained the party loyalty. And I was curious to get your thoughts on that cognitive dissonance and how that has come to be.
All right, Christopher, thank you for the call. So we're right up against a break. So what I want to do is I'm going to fill for the next minute, and then when we come back from the break, we will get your answer about how that, from Christopher's question about, you know, it used to be that Republicans would say, you know, my word is my bond. I'm a straight shooter. I don't lie about things. And now we have Republicans that say Haitians are eating dogs and cats, even though we know that's not true. That's a lie. We're hearing, and so we're wondering how to, and there's all sorts of studies that are showing, we're seeing polling that shows like your district that you're looking to represent is following the trend of drifting further to the right. We know that former President Donald Trump carried that district by 4 points in 2020. So we're going to check in on that part and get your answer for Christopher's question when we come back from the break. And our phone number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Having a conversation with Cecilia Castellano. She is the Democratic nominee in the race for Texas House District 80. And we are also have an open invitation for former Uvalde Mayor Don McLaughlin. He is the Republican in that race. We're taking a break and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Support for TPR comes from Jingu House in the Japanese Tea Garden, featuring Asian cuisine with a San Antonio twist. Open for lunch 7 days a week. View the menu at jinguhousesatx.com.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Cecilia Castellanos with us, the Democratic nominee for the race for Texas House District 80. This is considered to be one of the most competitive races in Texas. The current office holder, Democrat Tracy King, he is retiring, and the former Uvalde Mayor Don McLaughlin, he is the Republican in the race. And so we will see what happens on Election Day. But right now, you can give us a call, ask a question for Cecilia, 833-877-8255. And so, Cecilia, what about the question that we got before we went to break? I wanted to make sure that you had enough time to answer the question. So go, you know, what is it about? How are the Republican Party is clearly changing? The character of the party is changing. It's South Texas values used to be you're honest, you work hard, you respect your family, you do right by your community. How does that work?
Well, that's exactly how I was raised. You know, what you say is what you do. Your word is everything, and it really defines who you are. And I believe that as you know, Donald Trump is a businessman, okay? And you know, that's how he portrayed himself right at the beginning. And I believe that many people fell for his lies of being a businessman and being the successful individual, when yet he was not. So the lies started very early. And many people in South Texas gravitated to that, especially the men, because, you know, it's not a secret. Most men, exactly what you said, they gravitate to that masculinity, and they don't want to see a woman in charge. They don't want to see a woman making choices. It's not the norm. We're still going through that, the discrimination, the gender discrimination. And I believe as women rise up, and when women rise up together, more things can change and evolve. And so I believe that with the Republican Party, that's why it has changed, because they're used to have seen that. And if you see the makeup of the Republicans, you see that same masculinity, and the woman needs to just stay to the side and wait patiently. And that's the way some of our South Texas Latinos are. And I saw it. Many times it was the man that opened the door, and I would ask to speak to both of them, and they would say, you could speak to me. So again, making the choice for the woman. And I did hear on both sides, men wanting to support the Republican, and the women saying they were going to be voting for the Democrat nominee. And so, and I can say that on the presidential side. Now, as for the state side, you know, many people have told me, oh, you know, in Austin, they're saying, you know, that, you know, this is a flippable seat. So has the current state representative. But being out there really knocking on the doors and out on the streets, I can tell you that people want change. And people are not looking to the party. People are looking towards a person. And many people even told me, we have not seen anyone here at our doors in a long time. You have walked some of the most dangerous streets. Me, not volunteers, not people that we've hired, but me personally. And so I believe that this is not a flippable seat. I believe that as long as we continue the hard work, we can keep the seat a conservative Democrat seat, because people want to see change for the people and not for the politics.
One of the issues that the people are interested in is the school vouchers and funding, fully funding our public school system. Mm-hmm. How was that entered into this race for House District 80?
Absolutely. So learning more and more about the governor's, attack on House District 80 is because if he wins this seat, he is now one vote away from passing his vouchers. I have been running since day one on a full how to fully fund our schools mailer. We literally took the information that Representative Gina Hinojosa, what they had proposed this past legislative session, and we continued with that, stating that we need to have safe schools. We need to fully fund our schools, and not just with the teachers, but also with our janitors and also with our cafeteria workers, because it takes all the hands that work in a school to be fully funded and to have thriving wages, not just living wages, but thriving wages. And so having safe schools is something that is at the top of the list for all parents. Quality education for our special needs students. There's many of our special needs students that are falling through the cracks because there's not enough money. I'm a parent of two boys that are dyslexic, one on the severe spectrum and one on the moderate spectrum. So I understand the ARD meetings, the 504 meetings that parents had to go through, and the unfair timing that they give to the students. I mean, they only give like 15 minutes for help in math or 15 minutes. What can you do in 15 minutes? Nothing. And that's what our children today in our public schools are getting.
Let me ask you about something else, though, because I think we've answered that question about you are supporting fully funding the public school system. Right now, the public schools are suffering, that they're underfunded, mm-hmm. and you want to resolve that.
Yes.
But so you're in a district where the Eagle Ford Shale is a big deal. For a lot of people, working the fracking wells and hauling pipe and sand and all these other things is a really good job. It pays really well. And they're concerned about if Democrats get elected, that if something's going to happen to the Eagle Ford Shale jobs, that they're going to go away. So what do you say to somebody who has that concern?
Nonsense. So a Democrat or Republican cannot say how much oil is going to be coming out. I can tell you right now that from the primaries up until the runoffs, the oil market was very low and slow. So a lot of people were laid off. It just started up probably after the runoffs that they were starting to hype up and hire individuals.
You're about $76 a barrel right now. That's pretty good.
It's pretty good. But I really do not believe that creating jobs, again, we have no control of how much oil can be pumped out of the ground, right? And I do know that there was many companies in my district that did lay off because there was not enough oil being produced. That's what I meant to say. And so now that there's oil, again, reproducing, and they were drilling more, so now they're hiring once again. And so I say that that's false, because I do support small business. I do support any type of fracking, the oil industry, and I'm going to tell you why. Because I'm a small business owner myself. But what I do want to see is I want to see these oil companies putting monies back into my district. I want to see my roads that are not going to be damaged roads. And so right now, these oil companies are just siphoning all the resources out of our district, out of District 80, and they're not putting anything back.
And so people are also very much concerned about the price of groceries. As a mom, you know, I'm sure you can quote me the price of eggs right now. What are your thoughts about what needs to happen there?
Well, what I believe we need to do is let's go back to the oil companies, is being able to give thriving wages to the people in House District 80, where it comes with benefits, not just with $18 an hour. We know that the oil companies are making very good money. And yeah, I understand that there's a lot of components to running a business. But at the same time, they can afford medical insurance. They can afford all types of benefits for these employees, not just a paycheck. And also making sure that these oil companies are actually paying these workers as employees and not as contract labor. I believe that what we need to do is we need to go back and we need to make sure that we can fight to decrease the increase in sales tax, the increase as well as property tax, because we need to get back to where everyone is being stretched thin. I just went to the grocers and just bought a few cleaning supplies, and that was $300.
Cool.
Yeah.
What are you cleaning?
I was in the mood to clean, and I'm like, my goodness, just buying Pine-O-Pine, Clorox, just a few cleaning supplies.
Yeah. Really,
so it's outrageous. So going back to the basics, once again, it's people over policy.
Yeah. So as you go knocking door to door, what are people telling you? What are their top concerns?
Their top concerns have been the same thing since July when I first met them. And the concerns are the cost of living, our public schools. There's several public schools that have been closed in House District 80. They want to be able to send their children to a nearby school, not having to drive 30 minutes to a school on a dangerous highway. Also, infrastructure, water. Water is a big issue. Several times during the primaries, it was about five times that I counted, that one of the main lines would break. And all they're doing is patching the main water line, so which continues to cause breaks throughout. So we need to redo and revitalize our water infrastructure and put some brand new water pipes down so we can have a solidified, reliable water infrastructure.
You think, take the money from Greg Abbott's wall program and put it in pipes and for water?
Well, right now the state is sitting on over $88 billion of infrastructure money. So that money needs to be released. And that money needs to come down to House District 80. So there is money. The problem is that we have, you know, our governor and Ken Paxton and all of them that are holding our money hostage because they want their vouchers passed.
Cecilia Castellano is the Democratic nominee in the race for Texas House District 80. The current office holder is leaving politics, Democrat Tracy King. The former Uvalde mayor, Don McLaughlin, is the Republican in the race, and we do have an invitation with him, and we're working with him to get him on the air to take your questions and calls. And Cecilia, it's great to have you back on the air. Appreciate you coming in.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
And that's The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thank you for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted and produced by David Martin Davies. Kayla Padilla is our booking and engagement producer. Engineering support from Ruben Garcia, Jesse Reeves, and Steve Short. Dan Katz is TPR's Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.